It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love that. Just imagine. Imagine God just so excited. I want to give you my kingdom. And it gives God this delight to do so. Maybe you've had one of those experiences when you are anticipating giving somebody a gift that you know this is just the right thing, and you are so excited about giving it to them. Have you ever had that experience? Well, that's what God is going through right now in this passage. It is God's greatest delight. This is what makes God just go, yes, to give you the kingdom. Now this isn't a kingdom that has all kinds of rubies and gold and diamonds and wealth and money. No, all that stuff can quickly go away. The kingdom that God is giving is something that is far more profound and eternal. It is a kingdom that has at its foundation love, unconditional love, and grace, and mercy, and reconciliation, and forgiveness, and peace, and hope. This is God's kingdom, and God's great delight is to give it. It's yours. I want to give this to you. Now, paired with those words come the words that Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. Why does Jesus have to tell us that? Because the fear that we're living in is real, isn't it? The fear that we're living in is way too real. And maybe you know some of this fear. If you're oblivious to and goes, I have no idea about any fear going on in this world anymore. I haven't heard any for so long. I invite you to go home and watch the news. Or go to some public place and listen to people talk. Fear is rampant. And it's real. All different kinds of fear. And people are using fear. Rulers and leaders are using fear to manipulate and move you to do things. And that, I want to say, is not God's kingdom. Using fear to get people to do things is not God's kingdom. So Jesus says, don't be afraid. It is God's good pleasure to give you God's kingdom. But what about this fear? Oh my goodness, I want to receive this kingdom. I want to live in this kingdom of peace and reconciliation and hope. And yet the fear seems to have this strong grip on so many of us. Fear of that you can find at the borders, at our southern border of the United States, fear on all sides of it, fear that there are people there that are going to threaten our well-being, fear that on the other side people are fleeing other fears and taking risks that we can't imagine because it is better than what they are fleeing. And they're meeting. And there is this tremendous fear in those places that grips us and paralyzes us and enrages us to do things that and say things that are not of God's kingdom. That there is fear of going to a Walmart. To go to a Walmart, something that who knows how many times we've done. And fear that there will be somebody there with a gun and hate in their mind. That fear is real. Or going to school, as kids get ready to go back to school or are back in school, that has to be in their mind, and it's in our mind. Will somebody show up with hate and a gun? Now, I want to just say this. I know there will be people that are saying, Michael, don't talk about politics in church. And I get it. But I just want to lift up that we have a Jesus, we're following a Jesus that was crucified for speaking up against the politics of the day. It's not politics. We're talking about bringing God's kingdom into the world and bringing it into those places of fear. And it's going to take courage and it's going to have to take strength. And we may not be able to see the end to it, but we have to believe in this promise that God is giving us the kingdom, even if we can't see it. I think of Abraham. We got had portions of the story of Abraham today. Abraham was promised. Promise, Abraham, I'm gonna bless the world through you, God says. I'm going to give you so many descendants, you won't be able to count them. Okay, God, that's nice. I don't have a child. I'm 75 years old. I don't have a child. I know. I'm promising you this. And then later, Abraham, I still don't have a child. And so apparently, what you're talking about is my slave will be the heir. And God's going, no, that's not the promise I made with you. But I'm not able to see the evidence of your promise, God. And then Abraham even takes it upon himself. And maybe having a child with my wife's slave will be the answer. No, Abraham. Abraham, come outside. Come outside. Look up at the stars. Look up at the stars. Can you count those stars? Can you count those stars, Abraham? Because that's how many descendants you're going to have. Abraham never saw the reality of that promise before he died. But it doesn't make God's promise any less a promise that God fulfills. We step out into this world of fear to proclaim and to be witnesses to God's kingdom. And it's going to take courage because we're going to find resistance. Lots of resistance. But it's going to take courage. It reminds me of the prayer I learned at Holden Village. Well, God, you call us into ventures of which we cannot see the ending. I can't see where we're going. Just like Abraham, when promised a new land, Abraham, I want you to get up and go to a place that I'll tell you, and that'll be your new home. Abraham left before knowing where he was going. He did not know exactly where he was going, but he took the step to follow because God promised. Abraham took that step. All right, don't know exactly where we're going, but I'll go. You call us into ventures in which we cannot see the ending. Holy Shepherd, we are a part of a bigger church that is going through times of change. God's church is going through times of change. Somebody once asked me, Michael, are you afraid for God's church? And I said, no, I'm not. And then I asked, should I be? And they said, well, yes, you should be. And I was confused by that. Because my understanding of God's church, it is God's church, and nothing can threaten God's church. Now, what I grew up with and understood and how I got introduced to God's church, that is changing. And much of that has died away. And that I grieve. And yet, God's church is far more than that. Holy Shepherd is far more than that. And it is changing. And that can be scary and it can be frightening. And yet, there's this promise that it will still be God's church. This is risky to say out loud, but I'll say it. People, this is not our church. It is God's. And I'm here to say that's good news. What it's going to look like, I don't know. But may we, like Abraham, take that step. Okay, you're calling us into ventures in which I cannot see the ending. On paths as yet untrodden. We haven't been down this path before, God. This is really unfamiliar. This is uncomfortable. This is kind of scary. I'd never been here before. I don't know what to do here. And there are perils ahead of us, and perils unknown. There are perils ahead of us that we have no idea what's coming our way yet. Hate to say that, but it's true. I don't know what they are. Nobody does. And then this prayer that I learned in Holden continues. So it starts, God, you call us into ventures in which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden and perils unknown. And yet, God, give us the faith to step out in courage. To step out in courage. Like Abraham, to step out in courage. This week, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which we are a part of, has been meeting in assembly, National Church Assembly in Milwaukee. And I've been watching some of the things that have been going on there. And there's anniversaries this year, 50 years of the ordination of women. And I just want to say something. I'm so grateful for people like Carrie that have stepped out in courage, not knowing where the ending was going to look like, with perils that were ahead of them that they couldn't imagine. But people like Carrie, women like Carrie, had the courage to say, I'm still feeling called to proclaim that God's kingdom is here now. And there will be obstacles in their way, obstacles that I will never be able to comprehend. But I am so grateful for people like you, Carrie, that have stepped out in courage to say, God, okay, I don't know where we're going, but I'm going to take that step. And people of color, people of different gender identities and sexual identities, feeling that same call to proclaim this good news, to step out in courage. I'm called to be this. And I'm grateful because we need everyone just as they are to step out in courage, not knowing where we're going. But we do know this, as this prayer continues, that God's hand is leading us. Oh, please let it be God's hand that leads us and not our fear. But God's hand that leads us and God's love that supports us. Because if it's God's, we will find and know peace, and we will know love, and we will know a strength that is beyond ourselves. We will know a forgiveness and a reconciliation that this world is hungry for. God knows this, and we are called to bring that reality into this world. And it's going to take courage. Courage that I don't have on my own. But courage with God's help. Carrie, you and I took vows when we took this call to be pastor. And we respond to those vows, promises that we're going to make, with yes, with the help of God. Holy Shepherd, may we take a similar vow to proclaim that God's kingdom is here. And to proclaim that in places of fear, and take that risk. Be courageous to proclaim this reality. And may we do it in God's love. Amen.